More of our top story, developments in Egypt. An intense battle, chaos, fury, anger. That's how correspondents on the Al Jazeera network have been describing Cairo's Tahrir or Liberation Square as protesters for and against President Hosni Mubarak clashed.
People standing on top of one of the buildings just across the road from the museum have been hurling huge rocks and bricks from the rooftops down into the street below. We have seen people literally running for their lives.
There are reports of dozens, possibly hundreds injured. New York Times columnist Nicholas Kristof is in Cairo and was in Tahrir Square earlier. Nick, what did you see there?
There were buses pouring into the square and people marching in, these pro-Mubarak thugs. They were armed with everything from machetes to clubs to knives. They were bullying. They were pugnacious. They were belligerent, especially toward foreigners, journalists, and, of course, anybody who was carrying any kind of a sign identifying themselves as pro-democracy. It was very hard to figure out how many were injured, but I saw some people who were so badly injured that they weren't moving. They were being carried off, and in one case I tried to take photos, and the pro-Mubarak people got very angry, and for a moment I thought our camera was going to be broken. We were threatened several times that our video camera would be broken, although in the end we managed to defuse all these confrontations. But it was just surreal to see a place that in the last few days had really been a triumph of civility, of jubilation, full of exhilaration and hope for the future of Egypt, descend into the kind of violence that has marked the very worst of modern history.
Nick, we've been following you on Twitter. You mentioned a woman that you tried to interview in the crowd. Tell us about that.
This was in the part of Tahrir where the pro-Mubarak forces were invading, and she was left alone she and her sister were left alone as the sole pro-democracy people there. I was trying to talk to her, and this mob, just this sort of frenzied mob, saw the camera and surrounded her and just began bullying and threatening. One of them had a straight razor. And in a day that was marked by a lot of thuggery, I was just enormously impressed by the courage of these two sisters. They stood their ground, and they managed to defuse the situation.
What did they say?
Basically, they were saying very calmly that they wanted change, that they wanted reform, and they did it in a very reasonable way. And the mob was hounding them and shouting at them, but they listened, and it was a real display of courage and grace at a time when there was not a lot of that in the square. Well, there was a lot of courage in the square, but boy, it was messy and bloody and violent.
Well, Dick, tell us, first of all, these people that you spoke with, the pro-government people who are ganging up on these two women, we heard today from Egyptians that this is a group of thugs that Mubarak's regime has relied on for decades to attack people during protests like this one or during elections, that they come from sort of the bottom levels of society, people who are poor and are preyed upon almost by the government and are used as informants, that while there are a lot of people in Cairo who are for stability now, who are saying enough with these protests, these are not those people, that these are sort of journeyman thugs.
Well, I think they varied a great deal. There were some people who genuinely were pro-Mubarak and who were willing to talk and were not carrying weapons. But then there were also an awful lot of these people who truly were thugs, and they traveled as a mob. They arrived in buses that went through checkpoints. They arrived with machetes, with clubs. And they also had exactly the same talking points, all of them. For example, one was that they all, you know, immediately when they saw journalists, they wanted to denounce Al-Baradei. Clearly, Mubarak seems to view Al-Baradei as a threat.
The Nobel Prize-winning opposition leader.
That's right. Yeah. And it was sort of almost comical because he didn't really come up very much in conversations with the pro-democracy people. But every time these thugs would approach us, they would say, Al-Baradei, no. And they also had a special hostility toward both foreigners and journalists in particular.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we know when the WikiLeaks cables came out a while ago, one of the things they showed was Mubarak referring to Iranian leaders as big fat liars, I think was the line. And here,
yeah, I mean, he certainly despises Iran and is very fearful of Iran, but I think today showed that he's very willing to learn from Iran. I mean, the notion that today was about clashes is really, I think, fundamentally a little misleading. These weren't clashes between different factions, between people who believe different things. This was a crackdown. Mubarak didn't send in the police, and he didn't send in army troops. He sent in thugs, armed thugs, to intimidate the opposition, to intimidate journalists and reduce the amount of coverage that it gets, and perhaps to create a pretext for a broader crackdown. This, at the end of the day, was more of a crackdown than anything like clashes.
In fact, one of your tweets was, it's odd that Mubarak despises Iran. He's precisely copied the Iranian model to crush pro-democracy protests. You also tweeted a phrase in Arabic. Tell us about that.
It's the roots of my days studying Egyptian Arabic many years ago. Inna harda ahna kulina misriin. Today we are all Egyptians. You know, when I see these pro-democracy protesters there being surrounded on all sides by these, you know, armed thugs, boy, that's what I feel. You know, inna harda ahna kulina misriin.
Well, and people are seeing those images back here on CNN, watching it on Al Jazeera English Live. And yet we're also hearing in the ether here in the U.S. people characterizing these protesters in the street as Taliban, as Islamists who are going to overthrow one of the U.S.'s only allies in the Arab world. There is some, at least there was up until yesterday, confusion here as to whether or not we are all these Egyptians.
Well, Egyptian is no more monolithic than the United States, and so there certainly were Islamists in the square, and there were feminists and kind of everything in between. What maybe was striking was I spent a lot of time interviewing women and Christians about the question of whether they were nervous about the rise of Islamism, that you would have a grassroots people's revolution that might lead to oppression of women or oppression of religious minorities such as Christians. And really struck me that they were not, that they, or in some cases, some of the Christians had a little bit of nervousness to it, but they said that, you know, we are suffering so much from the system, and that at the end of the day, we can't bet on autocracy to protect us. We have to bet on democracy. And I, after these interviews, I sometimes, you know, walked away feeling a little shamefaced that I was the one who was questioning the virtue of democracy.
In which they seem to have faith at this point.
In which they had perhaps sometimes a little more faith than I.
Nicholas Kristof of The New York Times. Nick, thanks so much.
My pleasure.